if God's Spirit, His Holy Spirit, lives in you, that same Spirit, that Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead, Paul says, we can also experience new life by this same Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like something to get excited about. That sounds like something to celebrate. And right now, in the next 24 hours, billions of Christians all over the world will be celebrating this one fact that Jesus is not dead, but He's alive. Come on, somebody, can we celebrate that today? Jesus is not dead, He's alive. And if there's any point on the Christian calendar that deserves our full celebration, it's this day. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then everything else we're doing is a waste of time. All our preaching, all our singing, all our good works, all our gathering is a complete waste of time if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. The only reason you are here today is because 2,000 years ago, Jesus was killed on a Roman cross. But 3 days later, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He was raised to new life. And I don't know, when I think about this, it gets me wondering, why should this matter to us? Why does the resurrection matter to us as humanity? Okay, so God, the creator of heaven and earth, clearly He's good at doing things that we can't do. So God, the creator of heaven and earth, raised His Son to new life. Great, clearly He's got some powers that we don't have. But why should I care? Why should it matter to me? Why do we have these people that were on the screen sharing their stories of brokenness, of heartache, of death, but being able to say with confidence that they celebrate new life because of what Jesus did? And so today I just want to take a few moments to unpack what the resurrection means for us as humanity. I mean, it's all very well to celebrate that God got raised from the dead, but what does it mean for us? Can I have a bit more gain on the microphone, please, Glenn? Thank you. There's three accounts in the Gospels where Jesus actually raises human beings to life, people who are dead. There was Cyrus's daughter. There was Lazarus, Jesus' good friend. And there was a story about a lady called the widow from Nain. And we find this story in Luke chapter 7. And I'm just going to read it very briefly. It says this: soon afterwards, Jesus went with His disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed Him. A funeral procession was coming out as He approached the village, because the young man who had died was the widow's only son. The large crowd from the village was with her, and when the Lord saw her, His heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," He said. And then He walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearers stopped. "Young man," Jesus said, "I tell you, get up." And then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Here's a story of a woman that was getting ready to bury her only son. We know she's a widow, so we know that she's already buried her husband. Here is a woman that has experienced the greatest grief and the greatest loss that any human being could experience: the loss of your spouse and then the loss of your child. But I think what compounds the grief that she was experiencing is, in ancient times, for a widow who had no husband and then to lose her only child meant that she was also going to lose all her ability to provide for herself. See, for women in the ancient times, when they lost their husband, the inheritance would go to the child or the son. But if you lost your son, it would be given to the next male in the family, perhaps an uncle or a cousin or something like that. This poor woman was going to be out on her ear. She was going to lose everything she had because all of the men in her life were dead. And I know we think about that and we say, well, that doesn't sound very fair, and it probably wasn't very fair. But I think what this story really says is that here's a woman that has literally lost everything. I mean, you could even forgive her if she perhaps even lost her will to live. No son, no husband, no livelihood, perhaps even going to lose her house. And she, here she is in a funeral procession going to bury the life that she had known. And Jesus comes along and Jesus says something very interesting. He comes along and he says to her, "Don't cry." You know what this story tells me about the resurrection life that Jesus brings is first and foremost, the God that we worship is a God that hears the cry of the destitute. The God we worship is the God that hears the cry of the broken. The God we worship is the God that hears the cry of those who have been abandoned, those who have been orphaned. The Bible even says that God the Father puts widows and orphans into families of righteousness. We're not talking about a God that is afar off and distant, who is indifferent to the suffering of humanity. We're not talking about a God that couldn't care less. We're not talking about a God that went to sleep one day and just left humanity to his own devices. We're talking about a God who saw us before we were born. Isaiah said he knitted us together in our mother's womb, and he destined us with a purpose and a plan and a future. And he saw the brokenness that we were destined to live in because of sin, because of our rejection of him. And he said, "I won't stand for it. I won't allow my creation, my people, my children to be left without hope." And so this God that created the universe came down, became human, fully human, the Bible says. Not just a little bit human, not just half and half, not just God with a human costume on. No, fully, 100% God, 100% man. Why? Why does it matter that God became human? It matters because if a God knows the suffering that you have been through, the hope he brings actually means something. Have you ever sat with somebody who's lost a loved one and maybe you don't know how to identify with what they're going through? I remember a number of years ago, my wife and I were sitting with a friend, 24 years old. Her husband, that had only been married 2 years, was killed brutally in a workplace accident. They had a newborn baby, and she's sitting there sobbing and her heart breaking, and we are sitting there and we don't know how to respond. I've still got my wife. She's still got me. How do you respond to somebody when you don't know the grief that they are experiencing? You know, the expression "lost for words" literally conjures up this idea that there are some people that go through life and they experience things that we don't even know what it feels like. And so we say nice things, like we say, you know, "I'm here for you and I love you and it's going to be okay." But inside we know they're just hollow words because we don't have the power to give hope. But yet Jesus says something very curious. He says to this widow, he says, "Don't cry." And it's not a hollow, empty platitude that he's offering her, but rather he's offering her a hope that is grounded in a knowledge that the God of the universe can bring dead things to life. So there's a God of the universe that can overcome the experiences that we have on this earth. The God of the universe is not constrained by death, but rather the God of the universe speaks to death and overcomes it. And Jesus speaks to this woman in her desperation, in her loss, in her brokenness, and he says, "Don't cry, because there's hope. There's hope." See, we serve a God that not only sees our plight and cares about our plight, but he also, the Bible says, entered into our suffering. So the reason we celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus is because there is no other God and no other religion that can say that their God suffered like humanity. See, for most other religions, I mean, this is what perplexes Muslims so much. They said, "How can the God of the universe be killed? That doesn't seem right." And you know what? They're probably correct. It doesn't seem right that the God of the universe could be killed. But here's the thing. He wasn't killed because he was overcome by humanity. He was killed because he chose to enter into the deepest suffering of humankind and say, "I know how you feel. I know where you've been, but there's hope on the other side. This is not it. This is not a God who's afar off, but it's a God who loved us so much that he sent his son to enter into our suffering, to suffer the cruelest death known to humankind, and only to say this, I get it. I feel you. And I don't know what pain you walked in with today. I don't know what death you've been carrying in your life, whether you buried your dreams, whether you buried your hopes, or whether you buried a physical family member. But I want to say to you today that there is a God that offers hope in the midst of death, because he has actually entered into that death with us and suffered. See, Jesus is on the cross. He's hanging there. He's been beaten brutally. He's just about to give up his last breath, and he cries out to the Father. He says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why did you forsake me? This is the cry of the humanity of Jesus. The humanity of Jesus that suddenly realizes what it is to suffer like humanity suffers. This is the cry of a God that says, I get it. But even in that suffering, God the Father says, hope is not lost. Hope is not lost. Hope is not lost. Jesus speaks to the woman and he says, don't cry. And then he speaks to the boy, the dead thing, the lost dreams, the lost hopes, the broken heart. And he speaks and he says, get up, get up. You need to know that this God that has entered into your suffering, this God that loves you and is near to you, is also the God that says, it's not over till I say it's over. You might have thought hope was lost. You might have thought that everything was finished. You might have thought that there was nothing more going to come of this situation. But I am here to say, because this is my story, this is Melanie's story, this is the story of so many people here, that we have a God that not only enters into our suffering, that not only experienced the death, but he also overcame death and brought new life. And Jesus speaks to every single one of us today, on this resurrection day, and says, get up, get up. You're not dead yet. You're not dead yet. It's not time to bury that yet. There's hope yet. There's grace yet. There's love yet. There is acceptance yet. I don't know what anybody did to you. I don't know what anybody has said to you. I don't know how you walked in and what you are carrying, but I want to say that there is resurrection life that speaks to your dead places, that speaks to your dead heart, that speaks to your dead family members, both spiritually and metaphorically, and says there is hope, there is life. That speaks to your dreams, that speaks to your workplace, that speaks to your children, that speaks to your marriage, and says, get up, there's new life, get up. Jesus died. You know, history tells us that Jesus was beaten so savagely, but none of his bones were broken. See, it was fulfilling a prophecy in the Old Testament that said none of his bones would be broken. Traditionally, the Roman cross would leave somebody hanging in agony for a couple of days, but because in Israel, they couldn't have any dead people hanging on the Sabbath, what they would do is it would come to nightfall on Friday, and any of the guys that were still hanging on the cross breathing, they would break their legs with a club. And the sheer weight and the agony of not being able to hold themselves would collapse their lungs, and their lungs would fill up with fluid, and they would suffocate on their own fluid. But Jesus was beaten so severely that it came to the end of Friday night. And as they were coming around with the clubs, getting ready to break the legs, it says Jesus cried out one more time. And he said, it's finished. It's done. And he breathed his last. You need to know what we are celebrating here is a God that suffered more than any of us know. Oh, you may have suffered, but I'm telling you that he suffered more than you could ever know. Blood and water flowed from the wounds in his side. He was so disfigured that you couldn't recognize him as a human being. But in his last breath, he said, "It is finished." What's finished? Our experience of sin and death was changed forever. No longer were we victims to the system of sin and death that so plagues our world, but now we got to enter in to a new experience of new life, because the God of the universe was setting things right. See, this world is not the way God intended it to be. He didn't create it to be like it is, to have the suffering and the pain that we so much experience. But the God of the universe said, "I'm going to set it right and I'm going to fix this." And as he hung on the cross dead, his disciples are wondering, what's happened? I thought he was going to fix this. I thought he was going to make things right again. And now he's gone up and died. That's not the way it's meant to work. And I don't know if you've ever looked at your life and you've ever looked at the dead things in your life and said, "Where are you, God?" But you need to know that resurrection's coming. Resurrection's coming. Resurrection's coming. You know, when Lazarus was sick and his disciples said, "Quick, Jesus, your friend Lazarus is dying. You need to get to him. You need to heal him." And Jesus says, I'll wait. I'll wait a few more days. And they're saying, "No, but you don't understand. He's on death's door. He's going to die." And Jesus said, "If I go now, I'll heal him. And he'll have a good testimony to tell his friends. But if he dies and I raise him to new life, well, that testimony is going to echo around the world for thousands of years." See, some of you have been looking at the dead things in your life and you've been saying, "Where are you, God?" And he's saying, "I'm right here. Don't worry, I'm working a miracle in your life that's not just going to be a good story you tell your kids at the dinner table. I'm working a miracle in your life that is going to bring the good news to all who hear it." All who hear it. This resurrection life that we get to experience is available to us right here, right now. You know, the passage I read at the beginning, Romans 8:11, where Paul says, "If his spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives in you, then the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also raise your body from the dead." There's a curious little word at the beginning. If. See, God didn't need us to be good enough to accept his love. God didn't need us to be worthy of his sacrifice. But God is a gentleman and he will never ever push his way into your life. And the Bible says that if you want that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if you want this hope that he offers us in our dead places, if you want that resurrection life to resurrect the dead things in your life, then there's one thing you need, is you need that Holy Spirit in you. And so as we come to a close now, I just want to give an opportunity to anybody. If you're sitting here and you're saying, "I don't know what it is to have this Holy Spirit inside my life," it's really quite simple. Jesus said, "I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And if you'll just open your heart to me, I'll come into your life by my Holy Spirit. I will literally come and take up residence in your life and I will show you how to live life the way it was intended to live. I'll bring to life all those dead things in your life that you thought were gone forever. I'll bring you forgiveness. I'll bring you hope. All you have to do is open the door of your heart and say, 'I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus.'" And so right now, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I just want to give an opportunity to anyone. If you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never said, "Jesus, come into my life. Holy Spirit, raise to life again what is dead in my life." If you've never said that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a moment. I'm going to count three and I'm going to tell you how you can do it. But I also want to speak to anybody that maybe you said yes to Jesus once upon a time, but you know you've been living in a way that is far from Jesus. You've been living in a way where his Holy Spirit doesn't guide you and doesn't lead you in the way that you know he should. And you know what? It's not too late for you either. Even if you've walked away, you can say yes again. You can come back to the Father. The Bible says the minute that we take a step towards the Father, He runs to meet us. He embraces us. He wraps us in His glory. And He has a party for our return. So in a moment when I count three, if you've never said yes to Jesus and you'd like to do that, or maybe you said yes once upon a time and you need to say it again, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand as high as you possibly can so I can see it and I can pray for you. Because you don't have to go another day wondering if there's hope. You don't have to go another day wondering if there's forgiveness. You don't have to go another day wondering if there is acceptance, because the God of the universe entered into your suffering. He died. But by the Holy Spirit, He was raised to new life. And that new life is yours today. So very quickly, as I count three, put your hands up all over this place and we're going to pray for you. One, you need to say yes to Jesus. Two, you said yes once, but you need to say yes again. Three, come on, put your hands up all over this place if you need to say yes. Thank you, brother at the back. Anyone else? Thank you, my two brothers at the back. Thank you. Anyone else want to join these two people? Come on, let's celebrate for these three people. Anyone else want to raise their hand and say yes to Jesus? You don't have to live in despair anymore. There is hope in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you for those three people that put your hand up. You can put your hand down. We're going to pray a simple prayer. Everybody in this room is going to pray it with you. I just want you to pray it. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that means that He gets to be the boss of your life. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. He will take up residence in your life. So come on, let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, I need you to bring your resurrection power into my life today. Forgive me. Give me a new heart and a new start. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate big for all those people that said that for the first time? Hallelujah. Come on.